didn't mean to treat you bad. Didn't know just what I had. But honey, now I
welcome back to the Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. You can be in touch with me, your show host. Utilize the text line, and we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, Chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, will be with us. So stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, he's our state auditor. He is running for Secretary of State. We heard from his opponent last week. Now he has an opponent, Caroline Dobson. Y'all know her from the 2nd Congressional District race this last cycle. But our state auditor joins us on the line now, Andrew Sorrell. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing well. Thank you for getting me on again.
Hey, thanks for making time. Well, you and I are talking offline. The campaign is taking a turn. Now you have an opponent. There was always talk that she would get in this race, and then there wasn't. Where are you at these days?
Well, I'm continuing to run my race. I mean, whether I have an opponent or not, I mean, I've been working hard the last 11 months. Even without an opponent, I was wearing myself out. I've already been to 55 counties and done a campaign event, so should have one campaign stop done in all 67 counties here within the next, I'd say, 2 months. I've got them all booked out. Fundraising has been going really, really well, historically well, in fact. If you look at the two previous successful candidates for Secretary of State, that would be Wes Allen and John Merrill. I'm about doubling their fundraising pace, what they were doing when they started filing their initial, reports. I managed to raise over $64,000 last month. By the way, only a couple thousand, that's PAC money. Everything else is individuals and businesses who just support me and my candidacy. So I think that sends a strong message to Montgomery. Raised $114,000 in 43 days, since the fundraising opened on May 19th. So again, just off to a historic start there. And I think that just illustrates the amount of momentum behind my campaign. And there's a lot of individual donors in there as well. So anyway, just continuing to run my race, continuing to hit the talk radio circuit, get around the state, I'm excited about where we're at, Jeff.
It's kind of interesting with her approach, and I don't want to make it necessarily all about her, but she's really leaning in on the role, the Secretary of State's office. Obviously, elections are important, but sort of how it functions is in the state's economy, business licensing, et cetera, and making things run smoother. Now, I think you got to credit Secretary Merrill's tenure and changing a lot of what has happened over the years and just sort of the time and ease of things. But, with all of the discussion about elections and the emphasis put on election integrity, like the other side of what the Secretary of State does, how much of a focus? Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Well, we've talked about this before. There's over 1,000 duties assigned to the Secretary of State under state law. So I feel like the legislature, anytime they have a duty, they need to stick somewhere and they don't know where to put it, they give it to the Secretary of State. So he ends up with kind of a hodgepodge. I mean, you have athletic agents that register with the Secretary of State. You serve on the Election Reimbursement Committee. Of course, you're the chief elections official for the state. There are always special elections going on, Jeff. Every time you turn around, there's a special election somewhere. So you're never really out of an election cycle. Of course, you've got the municipals going on right now. And for the first time ever, all the municipal candidates in Alabama are filing their reports with the Secretary of State, which I think is a great thing. For number one, it's just easier. The online reports are very easy to file. And number two, for transparency's sake, I mean, if I want to pull a Orange Beach city councilman, for instance, see how much money the guy's raising, I shouldn't have to come down to Orange Beach and contact a probate judge or something like that. It's just that's an old, antiquated way of doing things. I'm so happy that they're all filing online with the Secretary of State now, and we can view their reports just like you would any candidate for a state office. But on the other side, you do have the business services. And I think, a lot of people, probably the majority of the people who interact with the Secretary of State's office are there not for elections. Normal people aren't running for office. Normal people are not, every now and then you get somebody doing an international adoption. They come through Secretary of State's office. But what most people are interacting with us over is the business services division. And that's going to be, you know, UCC filings. It's going to be entity creation, dissolution, update your business records, your business's registered agent, things like that. And we talked about this before, but I think the fees are really high on some of these things. In fact, some would say exorbitant. You know, it's a $100 fee to update your business's registered agent. That's a simple name and address change. I filled the form out before. It took me less than a minute to fill the form out. I thought, this should be $10. This shouldn't be $100. And I know business owners out there, I can name you a couple. I won't, but I could, that refuse to update their business's registered agent because the fee's too high. Like, I'm not paying $100 for that. So we end up with less accurate information at the Secretary of State's office because the fee is too high. So I'm going to go through those 9 pages of fees and I'm going to cut them. And this fee is absolutely exorbitant. The one I'm about to tell you about, the fee to purchase Alabama's voter rolls, $38,000. It's a penny a record, and there's 3.8 million registered voters right now on the Alabama voter rolls. Now, to put this in perspective, you could purchase all 49 other states' voter rolls for a total of $53,000, but just Alabama's is $38,000. I think the fee is so high that it's actually breaking the law. There's some discussion over whether the 1993 Federal Voting Rights Act, it limits it to a reasonable fee, and other states have been taken to court over their fees being too high, and their fees are less than half of what ours was, and they still lost in court. So before we get sued by somebody, we need to reduce this fee. I'm going to do that day one. I plan to cut that fee by 90%. I'm considering even cutting it by 99%. If other states can provide their voter rolls for a few hundred or a few thousand dollars, then why can't we? And it's not like you're printing them off for people. You're emailing it to them or you're downloading it onto a flash drive and sending it to them. Like, this is not hard. It's not complicated stuff. And downloading 3.8 million doesn't really take you any longer than downloading 38,000 for a, you know, state house district. So I don't understand why that fee has to be so high, but that's the attitude we need going in. We need to slash and burn the fees. We need to make it quicker, easier than ever before for people to do business with the state of Alabama.
That's what they always do in this state is, you know, they pass all these transparency measures, pat themselves on the back. But when you want to actually, you know, engage in the public records or whatever it may be, the voter rolls, they make it so cost prohibitive that people just, you know, that they will not, they just don't utilize it.
Well, you're right. And I'm glad you brought this up because I explained that the fee is too high, but let me explain why it's important that the fee be lowered. Cause I think we're missing that part of the discussion. It is for transparency. The public rolls, the voter rolls are supposed to be public. So every 2 years, 2 weeks before the primary, the probate judge in all 67 counties has to publish in a newspaper general circulation a list of the registered voters. That is for transparency's sake. So everybody in the county can see who's on the voter rolls, who are the eligible electors for the upcoming election. Okay, that's what we're trying to allow people to see. Well, let's say that you wanted to see who was going to vote in Alabama. So you have two choices. You can either drive around and purchase a newspaper in all 67 counties, or you can buy the list from the Secretary of State's office. Neither of those are acceptable options in the 21st century. How long? It would take you days of driving around to locate a newspaper in all the counties. And if you don't have $38,000, option B is not an option either. We need to prove to the public that our voter rolls are clean. And we don't need to look like we're hiding something. And if our fees are reasonable enough that the average person could purchase a copy of the voter rolls and say, all right, Aunt Maud died 3 years ago. Is she still on the voter? Oh, no, she's been removed. Great. That's what's supposed to happen. And guess what? If Aunt Maud still is on the voter rolls, then you've got a problem. But the person can see that and they can report it. You know, we have people moving out of state now. I have a friend who moved to Texas 5 years ago, got married and moved to Texas 5 years ago, still on our voter rolls. Okay, that's a problem. Now, thankfully, Wes Allen has partnered with Texas recently. And this AVID, this Alabama Voter Integrity Database, where we're sharing our voter lists with other states, we just partnered with Texas a few months ago. So that one's going to get caught, I guarantee you, when they do the duplicate check between the two states' voter rolls, that one's going to get caught and she's going to be removed. And I'm actually watching that one to make sure that that happens. But that's the kinds of things you can do when you have access to the voter rolls. So for transparency's sake, if you're a election integrity activist or if you're a member of a group, one of these election integrity groups that wants to make sure that the state is keeping the voter rolls clean, you got to be able to purchase the voter rolls in order to do that.
Well, and is it some of this that they sort of create a marketplace that keeps certain people out of, like, politics. And so it's very costly to obtain the voter rolls, and you need to do business, and you need a copy of that. You need to run for office. You need to know who's in your, you know, in who to target or whatever. But the way to get it, it's very expensive, but, you know, it makes it hard for just anybody to run and have that tool in their tool chest. I mean, there's like some of that going on, you think?
You know, this is really interesting, the speculation behind why our fee is so high. And I wasn't around when this fee was set. And a penny a name doesn't sound high at the offset until you realize there's 3.8 million voters. And then you do the math on it, you're like, oh my goodness, it's $38,000 to purchase our voter rolls. But yeah, maybe it was some incumbents that said, hey, we have money. Like, incumbents love high qualifying fees. So in Alabama, under Alabama law, the maximum a party can charge you is 2% of the salary. So if the job pays $50,000, the max qualifying fee you can be charged is $1,000. Well, incumbents like those fees to be high because the incumbents usually have the money, right? They have the PAC money flowing from Montgomery. It's easy for them to have access to money while the challengers have more difficulty raising money. It's just the nature of the beast in politics. Well, same thing possibly with the voter rolls. Maybe that was the motivation behind making the voter rolls cost so much is the incumbents can afford it and their challengers cannot. I could definitely see that possibly being a motivation in the past. Now, that motivation has mostly been removed, at least if you're running as a Republican, because about 5 years ago, the Alabama Republican Party voted to allow anyone access to the voter rolls for their district. So the Republican and Democrat parties both have access to the statewide voter rolls, and they can share that with whoever they want to. So let's say that, Jeff, you wanted to run for state house down there in Fairhope. If you declared as a candidate for state house, you would immediately have access through the Republican Party, through GOP data center. You would have access where you can view the voter rolls, download them, create walkbooks, you know, do your mailers, all that kind of stuff. So I don't think if that was the original motivation, that has mostly been canceled out because there's a way to get it for free now through the Republican Party. But if you're a municipal candidate, maybe you're running for mayor of Fairhope, for instance, you want to get the voter rolls. Well, you can't get that through the Republican Party because it's not a partisan race. So you'd have to purchase the voter rolls then. So anyway, there are numerous good reasons for us to reduce the cost of the business service fees. And yeah, that's something I've been talking about for the last 11 months. Business service fees and service fees to the general public.
Let's look at the other side of this. Like how much work, how much time, how many resources go into providing these? So how would you account for whatever, you know, would you have to have multiple people doing this whenever someone requests a voter list? What would the cost have to be to make this available?
Yeah, so there are people in the Secretary of State in the Elections Division that do this when they get these requests come in for the data. You know, you can call up there and order whatever you want. You can say, I want to buy Calhoun County's voter list, you know, and they would download it for you and charge you the appropriate amount. And maybe it's a little bit labor intensive because we're having employees do it. Maybe we could set it up to where it works more like the GOP data center where you get in there as a customer, as an end user, and you do your own sorting and you say, I want to download Calhoun County's voter list. And then it just downloads that, and after you just pay the fee online, and then you just download it there. That would make way more sense than having a person take their time from whatever important election stuff they're actually trying to work on in the Elections Division over there at Secretary of State, from having them pull it. It'd make way more sense to just have the end user do it. And you could sit there and you could play around with it. You could say, well, I can't really afford to buy the whole county. Maybe I'll just purchase the high-frequency voters, the people who vote at least 75% of the time. I want to buy that voter list. And you could play around with that and only pay for what you need. I think that would be a much better system.
Yeah, it's just, you know, having that sort of a la carte approach and knowing, having to weed through it, seems like that's also could be labor intensive as well. But I, you know, it just looks to me, Andrew, that whenever we talk about this and have these discussions, we got to this point somehow, some way. And whenever it's brought up, I get pushback, you know, probate judges or whatever. And they're really kind of not liking the idea of having this added duty to, for the sake of transparency.
Well, you know, you're right about that. But, of course, the probate judges don't sell voter lists. That's only done through the Secretary of State's office. If you call the probate judge and request a copy, they're going to say, well, you can. They're either going to refer you to the newspaper you can purchase, or they're going to refer you to the Secretary of State's office. So as far as this particular fee is concerned, I don't think the probate judges would have any issues with lowering the fee or keeping it. I think they're ambivalent to it, honestly. But, you know, if you want to shut down your business entity, you know, that's another $100 fee. You know, and Jeff, I've been saying for 11 months on the campaign trail, nobody shuts down their business because it's making lots of money, right? You only shut it down if your business is losing money or if you're not using the entity anymore, then you would shut it down. But the Secretary of State's office kind of kicks you in the rear on the way out the door with another $100 fee to close your entity down. So, I mean, that one should just be free. You know, we already charge you, it's like $200 to create an entity and another $28 to reserve your name, you know, for your entity. So it's $228 to open an entity in Alabama. That's high enough, but goodness, we shouldn't charge you another $100 if your business doesn't work out and you need to close it down. And Jeff, a lot of people, especially people in real estate, they put one property per LLC. So if they've got 10 apartment complexes, they're operating 10 different LLCs, and the fees really add up on this stuff.
Well, I was going to ask you real quick, because we got to get out of here. We're almost out of time, but like, do they make money off of this? Like, you know, like all these, like, does this allow these government agencies to operate in the black? What do they do with all of these fees?
Well, you got to remember, the Secretary of State's office receives $0 from the general fund. So they are completely self-supporting. The only revenue the Secretary of State's office has is through fees, and almost all of the fees they charge are business services. So we can't completely gut business service fees because the Secretary of State has to have something to operate on. That being said, the budget increased from $6.5 million to $7.5 million last fiscal year. So, I mean, if you're jumping up $1 million in your budget, I think there's plenty of room there to reduce cost.
Andrew Fossil, to find out more about your campaign, how can they do so?
Yeah, multiple ways. You can go to andrewsorrell.com. That's the easiest way, S-O-R-R-E-L-L. And you can also find me on Facebook, Andrew Sorrell for Secretary of State, and, of course, Twitter, Instagram. Just opened up a LinkedIn account, so we're everywhere now.
Andrew, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my.